So some that say a wretch like me, I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Man, it's good to see each one of you out tonight. If you'd like to turn to your scriptures and follow along with us in the reading, turn to Romans. We've read so much in Revelations 4 until you ought to know that scripture by heart, how the pale horse rider went out and all the things, death and hell followed him. So we're still speaking now on the fourth seal, but this will be message number 5. But we'll read from Romans the 8th chapter, and then we'll read from Revelations the 16th chapter. Thoughts tonight, but it'll still be on the fourth seal, but just to keep from reading the same scripture continually. Romans the 8th chapter. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now here's the main verses I want us to get to. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Now remember the scriptures we read this morning, how he put enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now let's read Revelations 16, verse 13 through 16. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth, and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of Almighty God. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Father, we ask your blessings upon the word. Give understanding to your servant. Give ears to your people to hear, Lord, that we may see your word this day made manifest among us. Bless us with your presence now. Bless those that are not with us, many for sickness, many because of their own sickness. Lord, we ask that these be removed, that your children would be together. Guide us now and dismiss anything from our thoughts that would, Lord, be contrary to you, that we may be in one mind, in one accord this night. Guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to see each one of you out tonight for the services, and just pray one for another. I hope you're enjoying the things that we're seeing from the seals this time, because I'm enjoying speaking on them and being able to study it. But just keep in mind now, as I said this morning, what we want to do tonight, if we can, is to try to take up where the prophet on the fourth seal was covering how that the fourth seal showed the battle of Armageddon. Now, we've been on this battle of Armageddon now for quite a while, but seeing how that when the prophet covered that, we know it's the last battle to happen, the last great, there'll be wars and rumors of wars and things and all, but there'll be one final battle at the end of the tribulation period, just before the millennium sets in. That's called the Battle of Armageddon. It'll be right at the end of the tribulation. We found that it's the battle between good and evil, life and death. It's the final showdown between God and Satan before the millennial reign sets in. It's a final battle. Armageddon is a final battle. It's a termination of forces. But what we want to take up tonight now is just something to see, why did the prophet, speaking as he did on the fourth seal, why did he say those forces of Satan, that when he comes there to that last battle, why did he say those forces would be Protestants and Catholics? See, why didn't he say it was Russia and China and this and that and the other? Why did he say it would be Russia? I mean, why didn't he say it'd be Russia, say, fighting Israel? And you'd see a big battle. A lot of people think that the United States will be destroyed. Maybe just after the rapture, you kind of pick this up from listening to some of the brothers, even in the message of the hour. Like maybe that the United States will be destroyed just right after the rapture of the church. And then see, we're the only one protecting Israel. You know, we're kind of the only one that's fighting for them now. So they'd leave Israel just at the mercy of everybody, you know, and they'd just come in and start trying to take over. But now, I want you to think about something. At this time of the fourth seal that we're talking about, you know, it would be in the tribulation period after the rapture of the church. I want you to think about something, because the book of Daniel speaks of how that the Antichrist would make his covenant with Israel. And then in the midst of that 7-year covenant that he makes with Israel, he breaks the covenant, goes into the temple, showed himself to be as God and all. But until that time that he breaks that covenant, then everybody in the world, every nation under heaven, even the natural nation of Israel, now I'm talking about the natural governmental nation of Israel, even that natural nation of Israel will be in a covenant with the Antichrist. Well, then you're not trying to look at Russia and the United States and this and blown apart and that and blown apart. We want to get down to something to where that we can just see what is really going on. See, then every nation now will be in a covenant with the Antichrist, which means the United States, if it's still there, maybe it's blowed up quick as we leave. I don't know. I'm not that up on it. I don't think that's the important point. The important point is to see that every nation under heaven would be in a covenant with the Antichrist. That means the United States, Russia, China, everybody will be in a covenant. Because according to the reading of the book of Daniel, see, the things has got to get real bad down to the bottom to where this Antichrist covenant can be made. And it says he'll cause craft to prosper, so everybody in the world right now is on the gold standard, even Russia and all of them, they're on the gold standard. Reading just the other day where their economy's in real bad shape in Russia because it's inflation, it's just eating everything up like it is here. Well, as I said the other day, what would happen? Somebody come in and say, hey, said, I've got this all figured out for you. I'll settle all of them debts that you've got. The Roman Catholic Church, they've got gold enough right now to pay off the United States national debt. Years and years ago, they had $168 billion in gold. That's been over 20 years ago, probably more than that. That was when gold was $35 an ounce. How much is it now when it's over $400 an ounce? How much more have they got when they every bit the United States will sell them, they told them they'd take? But yet they, poor little old people running around starving themselves to death to try to buy candles and everything to burn on a $50,000 gold altar up there to try to pray some of their saints out of their kin folks out of purgatory and just fleece the world with money. The biggest money makers there are in the world now is a religious society. I mean, they proved that over and over. The Baptists, when I was in there, it's been now some 12 or 15 years ago. Why, the Baptists owned land all over the United States. Had all kind of places where they owned property. And overseas, they even own and run a lot of the automobile factories and this and that and the other. It's run and owned by religious societies. It's big money business is what it is. But see, what we want to get to is, why did he call them Protestants and Catholics? Why didn't the prophet just say Russia and Israel, or Russia and the United States battling and Israel being destroyed? Why didn't he say it that way? You know, something like that of a battle. So now we went back this morning and just put in a little message so that we would see what happened in the beginning, because the prophet said that the battle of Armageddon, see, Armageddon means a termination of forces. It's something that's finally done away with. Armageddon doesn't mean a battle being happening this way. The natural word Armageddon means that it's final termination. See, that's why I said it'll be right there prior to the millennial reign. It'll be that great battle. But yet, we saw that there was a battle started in heaven. See, it started in heaven, and we saw Eve. What was it we saw about her this morning? Now watch it, and you'll see why it's called Protestants and Catholics. If you'll watch what I'm saying tonight, we're just going to preach and maybe not read nothing. But just think, why was it called Protestants and Catholics? Well, we went back and saw the battle as it begun. See, Armageddon is the end of it. So we went back to see where it started at. That's the best way to find out who's fighting this, is to find out what started the battle. Well, we found out that the battle started when Eve doubted the word. You know, Satan being cast out, coming down and all of that, the battle begun in heaven. That's why it'll end up in the end time, as being between God and Satan, because that's where it started at. It started between God and Satan, and it'll end that way. But when it ends, it'll be two prophets standing on the earth calling down those things. And it'll be Satan's forces coming up towards them to attack that part, because once that man of sin goes into the temple of God, as I said there a while ago, shows himself to be as God, the Jew pull out of that covenant. They don't mention United States pulling out of that covenant or anybody else pulling out of that covenant. It just says Israel. Right, they pull out of that covenant. When they do, everybody goes after them to destroy them, to try to make them come on back into that covenant and stay with them. Everybody in the world then will turn against that one little spot and go after it. Well, then we can see then that it wouldn't be. You could look back up in heaven, see, and you could see God on one side, Satan on the other side, and they fight and Satan gets thrown out. Well, when it comes down here, it becomes a battle of human beings. So you don't see God on this side and Satan on this side. You see a little nation of Israel sitting there, and you see an entire world of forces coming after that one little nation. Well, then you wouldn't want to call it, say, Russia, this, that. You wouldn't say God and Satan. You'd say Armageddon, termination of forces, and you'd say Protestants and Catholics. You'll see why it just comes right down to that. You'll say Protestants and Catholics coming against Israel to fight. And God coming down to settle the whole thing. But we saw Eve begin the battle upon the earth when she doubted the word. She took Satan's lie. She began to reason with the beast. She began to talk with him and reason with him. She brought death when she began to reason. You remember how I brought it this morning? When she reasoned that, death set in right there. When she reasoned with the Word, death set in, the battle was on then. She had done lost the battle, we'll say it that way. The battle was back prior to then in her memories and reasons and conscience and things when God was saying, you're not supposed to do it. If you'll read the greatest battle ever fought, you'll find the things I said this morning. If you don't, listen to the tape because we'll be speaking out of that for quite a while. Brother Branham says, Eve said, Adam told her not to do that. That's the way he says it in there. Listen to it and see. He said, Adam told her not to do it, and she went on and done it anyway. All right, then reasoning brought death. Now watch it gather the forces now to come to the battle, because it's a battle between death and life. That's what Armageddon will be, see. It'll be a battle between death and life. All right, the battle begun in heaven, comes down to the end in Armageddon. Your fourth seal then shows from the beginning. Now listen to the way I'm stating this and think on it for a while. And then you'll see one seal tie every scripture in the Bible together as the prophet said it would. The fourth seal shows from the beginning of death until death is destroyed by the Word. Now it might do justice to take that home and think on it. That the fourth seal shows from the beginning of death. See, all the way, because the fourth seal covers all, as Brother Branham said, those three horses come into one. Well, whatever's under the white horse riding would naturally be covered under the fourth one. What's under the red horse rider would be covered under the fourth one. See, what's under the third seal would be covered under the fourth one, because the fourth just covers the whole thing. The prophet, he preached along this way on one, and then he picked up and went on, and then he went on. Then when he got to fourth, he went all the way back. And he come all the way through the Bible. So your fourth seal shows you from where death began. And it began in heaven when Satan was cast out. That was the beginning of it. But it wasn't in a form of death until Eve began to reason, because it became a human battle. But when Eve reasoned, now think, when Eve reasoned, death set in motion. When she reasoned against the Word, death set in motion. Just think about what she done. Eve just doubted one word. Brother Branham one time said she got messed up on Hebrews 13:8, where it says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Or in simpler language like this, Eve just thought God didn't mean what he said. In other words, she just thought God didn't mean. That was the reasoning thing. Satan says, surely, look at it this way. He said, you're made for that purpose and all this, that, and the other. Why would God destroy you when that's what he made you for? That's what you're to be here in the world for and all, for reproduction and to bring forth children unto Adam and all. He said, you ought to know that God wouldn't destroy you. He said, what's happening, they're trying to withhold something from you. He said, that Adam, kind of like women today are. You'd see it today, then surely you could see it back there, or back there, you can see it today. The women think the men are trying to be lords or rulers. And they're wanting their rights. They're wanting their rights. They're wanting to go in there and be with everybody, just like a man, because they think the man's trying to push them down. Well, that's what started back there, the same old devils down here in the end time. Telling the same old story that he told Eve. He said, why, you shall not die. Because God knows. Now listen at him, trying to quote it. God knows that the day you eat thereof, that you'll be wise. Why, you'll be as gods. It didn't say God, G-O-D. It says G-O-D-S, little g, gods. See, you'll have great wisdom, great understanding. See, that's what he promises people today. Oh, ain't it something that we women are set free? You hear women state that, and then you turn around to them and say, yeah, go to the army and fight. Well, that's not meant for us. Well, if you're free, go to the army and fight. Go crawl in the barracks with the men if you're free. No, they don't want to do that. See, they just want it just far enough, just enough to cause trouble, you might say. But just think now, Eve just thought that God didn't mean what he said. Now, by accepting Satan's reason against the word that was standing there, she brought forth on the earth. Now, watch the way that I'm stating things tonight. I wrote it word for word where I'd make sure that just to read it to you if I wanted to. I wrote it again after we got here at church and rearranged it where it would be better understood. By accepting Satan's reasoning against the word, she brought forth the first sign upon the earth of an organization. Now we're trying to see how come it's Protestants and Catholics, so watch the way that we're stating it. When she accepted Satan's lie, that set death in motion. Organization is death. You've heard the prophet say that enough to understand it, and you'll see it disproved in natural terms. An organization accepts Satan's lie, contrary to the word. When they do, they die. You say, yes, but I told you before now, we're not talking about people out there in the system of it, because people are there that are my family and your family and everyone. If they accept the system and stay with it, they're dead just like the system. Show me one system of one church. If you want to do that, show me one church that's ever come up and fell back and then come back again. It's never done it. God moves on. You've got to move with him. But now, when you organize, you die. Watch, it'll be Satan's tactics in a minute to show you how that he separates, divides. Separates, divides. Always dead. Eve disbelieved. Now listen. This is what makes it so hard to say, because it looks like a good thing. And then you think about the churches you've been in and the people you're around and all like that, and see if it doesn't fit. If it doesn't, come talk with me about it. Eve thought she could help God. Now, isn't that what she thought? She thought she could help God. God made a promise to multiply and replenish the earth through Eve. You know, he gave her that promise. And she thought she could help God do that. So what'd she do? She tried to get the thing underway. Another example in the Bible, now where you see it. Abraham had a wife named Sarah. Sarah was beyond childbearing. Abraham was still capable of fathering children. God told Abraham, said, you'll have a son. Well, now Sarah, she says, all right, Abraham, I'm beyond childbearing. So what you do, you take my bondservant, Hagar, and you have a child by her, and that'll be the promise. What was she wanting to do? She was wanting to help God. Now, God don't need no help from me and you. All he needs is for us to get out of the way. But see, they didn't realize that. When they did, right there, they organized and died right there when they done that. Eve done it. Sarah done it. Because what did Sarah get? When she gave Hagar over there to her husband, what come from Hagar? Ishmael. What have you got over there in Israel right now? You got Israel on one side and the Arabs on the other one. The Arabs are descendants from Ishmael. They say, Abraham's our father. Well, that's true, because their mother was Hagar. But that was a bond child. Hagar was a bond woman, a servant. And God said, I didn't promise it to come through no bond servant. I promised it to come through Sarah, but you wouldn't wait. See, Eve couldn't wait. She couldn't wait for God to bring that promise to pass of the Word to fulfill it. And she went out and doubted that promise. Sarah, she couldn't wait. She just doubted that just enough to word it. She couldn't see how God could bring a child through her in her past childbearing. You know, she done went through menopause. She was done past childbearing. But in doing those two, now, this those two as an example, we see that when they doubted God's Word, or they began to reason upon the Word, when they began to put the carnal mind, as we read, which is an enmity against God, when they began to put that there, they died. What did Eve produce in the garden? Proven that it's right. Now, what did she produce? A child of death. What did Sarah produce by giving Hagar over to her husband? What was produced from Hagar? A child of death. Always been fighting. Always been trouble there. It's always been on that order, hasn't it? All right, then look down here at our time today now. Look around at your people everywhere. Just doubting the Word just enough. Just enough doubt now that we'd say, well, we was taught through the Baptists, if God wanted to heal us, He'd heal us. And it's careful to pray. Heard a man praying the other day, and he prayed, Lord, heal all the people in the hospital, if it be Thy will. Well now, if it's His will, why ask Him? Bible says not to use vain repetitions of words like it. So why ask God to do what He's going to do anyway? That's just examples now. I'm trying to give you something along the way to show you that doubt brings forth nothing but death. What Eve done was took a carnal application of the Word and brought death. Now that's all she done. She just took a carnal application of the Word. See, she took the carnal mind. Once Satan got through there, to her mind, she took the carnal mind and brought death. Then from there on down, everybody would come with a carnal mind. Everybody would come with that. If you'll watch, the sign of an organization, whether it be Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholics, or whoever it be, are the people of this message. The sign of an organization is a carnal application of the Word. To be carnally minded is death. All right? Then death is a perversion of life. Wouldn't matter if it's me, you, or the biggest Catholic church down in Gainesville or anywhere in the world, to put a carnal application to the Word, we die. We're dead right there. Then see, it's not just talking about what's out there. That's why I said, don't just think I'm throwing off on somebody out there. I'm talking about what's if it's in me and you. To be carnally minded is death, the scripture says. Eve tried to organize it. She accepted the lie of Satan. Now watch what she done. When she accepted the lie of Satan, what did she produce? What was her product she produced? A child of death. What was Sarah's product she produced by giving Hagar to Abraham? A child of death. As I said, they just wanted to help God. Now, she brought forth a child when Eve accepted that lie of Satan. She produced a product. She organized the thing to get it going. And when she did, her product was death. She brought forth a child of death called Cain. What does the Bible say over in the book of Jude about Cain? I believe it's Jude. Cain was of that wicked one, the Bible says. Doesn't record Cain in the lineage nowhere of any godly lineage throughout this Bible. Cain's not listed. Read your lineages. It'll go down through there and it leaves Cain out. All right? Cain was of the wicked one. Now see if you can catch this part of it. Here is the first sign of an antichrist spirit was in Cain. You say, what mark was put on Cain when he went out? And there, you know, the Bible said he was marked and he went out, and anybody that found him and killed him, it'd be bad for them, and that's the other, you know, different things out. What mark was put on Cain that when he went out there? Great man over in South Carolina said he didn't know. You know, they'd say it's blackness, and some says it's this kind of a mark, and some says this kind of everything could be thought of been said about it. Brother Collie said he was listening to Brother Brown, and Brother Brown said it was the mark of the beast. Well, now that's true then, isn't it? What mark was put on Cain to show that it was an antichrist spirit? What mark, what have we been studying about the final mark of the beast is a cause of? Begins as an antichrist spirit, don't it? Begins as an antichrist spirit, then it becomes the mark of the beast. What then did Eve produce? Cain had a carnal mind. Read your Bible and see if he did. He thought Eve ate an apple. Abel had the revelation. Now watch your very first beginning end of the battle there when it become a physical form of it. Good and evil begin to fight. Is that true? Cain and Abel. Abel tried to tell Cain that it was not fruit that Eve eat, and Cain says, yes it is, Mama eat an apple, that's what's wrong. When they got out in the field, maybe after talking for days and weeks or months or years even, because he was up about 30 years of age or better, because they'd have been the head of their house because they'd offered sacrifices for their self. Alright, then the two brothers fought each other. Or excuse me, we'll just say there wasn't no fight to it because the Bible just says Cain slew his brother Abel. Abel didn't try to fight back. He was killed. What caused Cain to kill Abel? Had to be two different spirits working, didn't it? The Bible says Cain was of the wicked one. Cain and Abel were twin brothers. two different daddies, but same mama. The Bible says Eve's the mother of all living. The beast got to Eve that morning and Adam that afternoon, and it produced two different children. Dogs do that. No problems there. All a woman's got to have is a split egg. Can come down, be twins from the same father, or it can come down, and the scientists say with doctors within so many hours, like a 12 hours or 24 hours or something, if they come together and have an intercourse with another man, they can father a child from him. There's no problems with that. That's been proved in our day. Woman had a black and white baby out there, and white man said he'd keep up his. They went to court about it. They proved that she had a black lover and a white one. See, there's no problem. The Bible is being proved by man to be true. But now think. One of the wicked one. The other came from Adam. And God came on that side of the scene instead of the other side. And then what have you got? Life and death. But what we're studying about is the organizational side of it. He produced an organization right there because that thing began to fight. Life and death begin to fight right there in natural physical combat. Because Cain got mad. And what's the Antichrist spirit now? When God came down searching for Abel, he said, Cain, where's your brother? He looked back at God, he said, am I my brother's keeper? He got angry at God, the very creator that was talking to him. What kind of a spirit would that be? Sure wouldn't be God. It was an Antichrist spirit. Because that's the best thing Eve could do in the garden when her and the beast got together is produce the Antichrist. It sure wasn't a child of life. If it wasn't a child of life, it was an Antichrist. And then the mark was put on Cain and he had to leave, the mark of the beast. Was put on him. See, Eve produced the first organization. God hated it from the very beginning. It's never been God's will for the churches to organize. It's always been what the prophet of God tried to preach in our last day. Lay down your organizations and let's come together as brothers and sisters in Christ. No, they rejected it then. Now watch what they're doing. Let's lay down, as I said about the man this morning on the radio, let's lay down all of our differences and come together. Now it's the Antichrist working it instead of God trying to work it. It'll bring it right in to where that they'll take over to. Eve organized the first church. People's a church. She organized the first church. Everything after then's followed after it. Sarah followed after it with Hagar. It's followed it all the way through. Jesus was standing there. And those Pharisees standing there, the church of that day, and they said, we are of our father Abraham. He's our father. And Jesus said, you're everyone dead. He says, if you're Abraham's children, you'd know me, because Abraham spoke of me. And they denied him, and Abraham spoke of him. Well, surely if they'd have been the children, then it looks like they'd have followed after their daddy. See, organization then would be totally contrary to the Word of God. And I just wrote it in this way. She organized the first church, and the others just followed after her example. So will most of the people of this message. Just follow after her example. Eve just doubted one word now. And we found she opened a channel to Satan, and he began to stop up them flues with his reasoning and all like that, and that messed up everything and caused death. So when God comes over here at the end time and he tells us about the Battle of Armageddon, what does he see? When he sees those forces coming against Israel, and lets a prophet like Brother Brown speak of it and tell what it was, what does God see? He sees Satan's forces coming at him, what? The same reasoning powers and things that went on back there with Eve. The battle hasn't changed. It's just growed in forces. When he saw it to begin with, he didn't like what he saw. He saw Eve doubting the word because of reasoning. He looks over here in the end time, he sees the forces coming against Israel as what? They sure ain't Holy Ghost filled people because they done gone in the rapture because the rapture done come before that time. He sees a bunch of carnal reasoning coming. Forces of carnal reasoning. Satan's forces is what you can put the title to it if you like. So he just called it in the terms that you and me would understand then. God tries to speak and use things. The other night I was trying to explain something to some of the brothers like this, that God couldn't use Naaman when he said he saw chariots jostling in the streets, torches running like lightning and all like that. He couldn't call it out back then before he'd seen it and say, well, there's automobiles running up down the expressway and lights on the headlights, you know, and it's having wrecks on the expressway. That's what he saw. But how did he describe it? He didn't know what an automobile was. He described it as chariots, because that's the closest thing he knew. He saw automobiles running up and down the road. He might have seen 85 out here some night and all these wrecks happening. But when he described it in the terms that he was used to for the hour. Chariots jostling in the streets, running like lightning, torches on them. See, headlights on the car. One of them described a great nuclear destruction, and what did he call it? Fire falling out of the sky. He couldn't describe it as nothing else. God speaks to me and you in terms that we understand. Then what would be better to us to try to get us to understand these forces than to just say it in simple language that you and I understand and have been able to look around us all of our lives and understand? Every church that you and I have ever been into, you know yourself it's nothing more than a case of carnal reasoning. Carnal reasonings. I'd sit there and pray, Lord, send something to the church. Back when I was in the Baptist, do something. I'd go out among the community and begin to try to work and try to get people to come to church. And when I did, they'd say, well, I live better than you chief of the board of deacons does. Well, you couldn't argue with them. You couldn't fuss with them about it because it's the truth. It was just a case of carnal reasonings. So the best way to place it was to tell us that the forces coming against Israel would be what? Protestants and Catholics. Them two words we understand, don't we? We know what the Catholics are and we know what the Protestants are. We know they're in every nation in the world today. Russia's got a lot of people called Protestants and Catholics. They call themselves Christians. We read it the other night where that Daniel saw that streak of Rome run to every nation of the world. It's Rome that will control the world. It's never Russia. Well, I know Bible for Russia ever ruling the world. Rome will. Not the natural government of Rome. It's nothing but a little bitty face. But Rome, through her doctrine, has infiltrated the entire world. As I was talking to a man the other day down at work, he said, I'll take my three gods over your one anytime. I said, go ahead, but you ain't got Bible for it. I talked to him a little bit about water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, oh, yeah, this way. I said, come on up. Sometime we'll talk about it. I'll take my three gods over your one. I said, you ain't got no Bible for that, and you ain't got no Bible for you. Three God baptism. I said, you ain't got no Bible for it. Well, I'll take my. I said, you know what's wrong with you? I said, the Catholic Church call it dogma. The Catholic Church admit in their own writing that that is a dogmatic or a dogma. That somebody hatched up the idea. I've got it at home. Well, as a matter of fact, it's laying right over there out of an encyclopedia if you don't want to read it. Where that the original way of baptizing was in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Catholic Church write in their own writings and say the original form was in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, but said we changed it. See, they call that a dogma. I said, you know what the difference is? I said, they call it dogma like that. But I said, you Protestants call it revelation. Well, now what's the difference in him and that Roman Catholic hierarchy pope over yonder when they both have the same identical belief of the Godhead? God in three persons, blessed Trinity. And he says, I'll take my three gods over your one in time. That's Catholic to the core. There's not a bit of difference in his teaching of the Godhead and the Roman Catholic Church in the way they teach it. And that was a Pentecostal person that was saying that. I've been through the Baptists. I know their teaching. I know the teaching of the Methodists. I know that way. My brother said he never should have come out of the Catholic Church to start with. He's a Methodist preacher. He told me that out of his own mouth. He said, we never should have come out of the Catholic Church to start with or stayed there. Well, there's no difference in the way he teaches and the Catholic Church teaches, so he ought to be there. He is there by... And if he created the other two, then he wouldn't be a God. Which would be the oldest? The Father, the Son, or the Holy Ghost? Which would be the oldest? Son can't be as old as Father. Do you see what people's done? They took their carnal reasoning upon the Word, exactly like Eve. Die. Sets death. Same as me and you. We can take Brother Branham's message, carnal reasoning upon it, same way of the Bible ever, whatever. And we die right there. That's evidently what a lot of people think's happened to us anyway. Because they've sure got away from us. They don't like to hang around us. They must think we're dead. We've become an outcast to just about everybody. But now just think. Everything back there, because of Eve's fall, me and you and everybody come with a carnal mind. We come with a carnal mind, a carnal application, believing Satan's lie that he put on the Word. That's what we come with. That's what's wrong with us right now. Cain and Abel fighting. Jacob and Esau fighting in the very womb of their mother before they came out. Judas, Jesus. Carnal always fighting the spiritual. And always the carnal came because of organizational ideas. It's always been that way. Because it's Satan's thought upon the Word that he gave to Eve. That's what makes it so hard for people to see it. It's Satan's thought upon the Word. He says, isn't it reasonable? Like that man talking to me, he said, isn't it reasonable? In other words, the Bible says, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, there's a God and there's a Father and there's a Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it reasonable he's got to be three of them? Isn't it reasonable there stood Jesus on the River Jordan after being baptized and the Holy Ghost come down and there's a Father up in heaven speaking? Isn't it reasonable? What are you going to do with the first commandment? Behold, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. You don't reason the Word. If you reason the Word, you die. That's what Eve done. That's what everybody's always done. That's why, now listen, that's why I don't care who you want to call it. From there in the beginning when they started until now, everybody has taken Satan's carnal reasoning upon the Word. I don't care where they're born again or who they are or what they are. They've taken the reasoning upon the Word except the Lord Jesus Christ because he stood there and fought it. And it was so hard. Now listen, we think we'll go out here in the fiery bed of ease. Oh boy, it's just, well, let's get rid of this old carnal mind we got and we'll just be all right. Jesus, when he fought it out with Satan in the Garden of Gethsemane, it was so rough on him he sweat drops of blood. And yet we think, oh, we're in the message. We're going. We're going to get out of here. It cost Jesus drops of blood. But he faced death. Laughed at it. As I said, Catholics call it dogma. Protestants call it revelation. Teaching identical. I had rather be a Catholic. Might have a better chance. That's a hard saying, but if I was going to be either one tonight, I'd just go back to Catholic. I'd just go to Catholic Church. If I ain't going to believe this message and believe it right, I'll just go to Catholic Church. And I'll pay that priest to take care of my sins, because if I can believe in a lie, I can believe it that much. I'd just soon do that as to go back. That's why I've had to make such a stand on the message and then drove everybody away from me. Because I believe the message my way, and I'm not going to believe it no other way until God changes me. Or if it's wrong, then God will change me. If it ain't wrong, God will back it up one of these days. But I'm not going back just because so-and-so goes against what I believe. Take my stand with the Word, and then we'll just see where it works out or not. Because if I'm going to just be wishy-washy and up and down and back and forth, I'll just go join the Catholic Church in Gainesville and go to Mass every Thursday and just live like the devil the rest of the time. I'm just truthful as I can be. Why don't you be that? But see, that's not it. They accept that, and that produces that Antichrist spirit. That's what Eve produced when she done that, was the Antichrist. And the Antichrist had always been organization, leading right up to the battle, coming down through there. What have we been taught Satan's tactics has always been? How is it easier? Is it easier to take a whole bunch of reeds or something in your hand or sticks and break them? Or is it easier to break them one at a time? Why does God always, Satan always attack just one or two persons in the church instead of all of them at one time? He can't handle all of them at one time. They're a strong force. But he attacks individuals and breaks down one at a time. Because you can break a stick, just take one stick like that, you can pop it, can't you? But you put a bunch of sticks together. I don't care how weak the sticks are. You just put a handful of them together, and you can't break them, can you? Sticks you could take with your fingers like that and just snap. Little old twigs. Go out here in the yard and just break you off some broom sage. Why, you can just snap that just like that. Ain't nothing. But put your big handful together and try to break it. Satan's way has always been divide, conquer, divide, conquer, divide, conquer. That's what he's always done. If he can divide a church, he can conquer that church. He can actually destroy that church if he can divide it, because he's always done it. He just separates. When he separates, he just destroys. Now you just think about it. You think on this thing. Death was brought by Satan. Satan's ahead of all forces that oppose God. Don't matter if it's Russia, China, or who it is. He's ahead of every government in the world. And the prophet didn't leave Israel out when that was in there, and the Bible don't leave it out either. He's ahead of every natural government in this world. That's according to Matthew 4 there when he took Jesus up on the mountain. Alright, if he's the head of all the governments, watch him now. He's the head of all demon powers. He's the head of all religious powers. We've been studying about that, haven't we? He's the head of all those powers. Then that'd make him head of this religious society out here then, wouldn't it? That's hard to believe, I guess, ain't it? But that's what the prophet said. Now, I can't argue with him, and you better not. He's the head of all religious powers. I can see that easily in myself now. I can see it myself. That he's the head of all powers opposing God and anything. And you go out here today and find God now. When the Bible says he's outside of his church knocking, trying to get back in. Well, then he's head of all religious powers. When the church, now think, when Luther came out of the Catholic Church and protested that Catholic Church, it wasn't long until it went back. Now, is that true of church history? When Luther came out of the Catholic Church, it was not long until the church went back, because the Bible speaks of the old mother whore having harlot daughters. And that's what it calls. That's spiritual speaking. By taking the same spirit of the Antichrist, and they didn't even know it. They took the same spirit of the Antichrist. Every one of us come that way. We can't throw off on nobody. All of us come the same way. Some of you younger ones maybe didn't join up with churches and things like that, but all of us older ones was a member in one form or other. If we didn't join it, we was right there with it and motivated by the same spirit that they had. It didn't matter where we joined it or not. We were part of it. We were born organizational. Read Spoken Word as the original seed and see if the prophet didn't say that. See if we ain't all born organizational. Because that's what Eve done. Now, we'll take up next week, the Lord willing, how to get rid of that Satan's power and his control over. But what I want you to see now, why would he, now just to sum it all down and get it a little more simpler, so we can understand it better, why would he not call it Russia and different things like that? Because that fourth seal, as I said, showed from the beginning of death to the end of it. Within every battle in between would be covered under the fourth seal. That's the reason I went back there and brought it through with the battles and up to Jesus and the Antichrist and the things coming through and through the church and all the things that happened to it right on down to this hour now. So just think now. If he'd have said Russia coming against Israel. Now if the prophet had have said that, he said, we're going to see Armageddon this morning and there's Russia coming against Israel. That couldn't have been tied to the Bible in no way. Is that true? That you couldn't have went to Genesis with that because there ain't no Russia in Genesis. But when he said Protestants and Catholics, you can go all the way back. You can follow it just like I did tonight, that when Eve organized, she died. That was the Protestants right there. When they organized, they died. When the Catholic Church organized, it died. When they took the carnal reasoning of man, organized and died right there. So it comes all the way through the Bible then. The fourth seal shows all the way through that Bible of how that when they organized, they died. Well, then the prophet just called it what it was. It was the Antichrist spirit riding on a pale horse, Satan incarnate, devil guiding the people, and he just called it what it was, Protestants and Catholics. That fits every scripture in the Bible. That fits Eve when she organized. That fits Sarah when she organized. That fit the church when it organized back there and rejected Jesus. That fits the church down through there when they organize as the Catholic Church. And that fits the Protestants exactly when they organize as they come along and die. And that fits me and you if we organize and die. Then one of these days there'll be a battle over yonder called Armageddon. And Russia will come in this way, and the United States this way, and China this way, and this one this way, and all it together. And when God looks down, he sees the same thing he said seen in the start of it. He sees the carnal mind coming against the spiritual, the little homeland of Israel. And he says, there they come, Protestants and Catholics. Because that streak of Roman Catholic Catholicism, whether it be Protestant or whether it be Catholic, both identically the same, is what will be coming against them. As I said the other day, in World War I, when we was fighting Germany, on the belt buckle of the German soldier was "In God We Trust." Every flyer-up you see in the world out there today, between two different countries coming together, having a little flyer, Satan's controlling both of them. Then it's coming down to a final battle. Me and you'll have to see the battle from the beginning to the end to understand what's happening right now. Then we'll pick it up and you read the message or listen to it or get the tape. You don't have the book of the greatest battle ever fought. And notice what the prophet said. Notice the scriptures he used. He didn't just use scriptures on the greatest battle ever fought to describe Satan and his forces. He used scriptures like, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of Satan. Showing you that we can. See, that greatest battle ever fought was used, I'm using it just to show Armageddon. That's not Armageddon, but it's a spiritual Armageddon that's taking place right now in me and you. And as the prophet said on the greatest battle ever fought, he said it's going on right now in the minds of the people. Because right now, tonight, the same carnal reasoning that was reasoned back there by Eve is the same carnal reasoning that's right here tonight. The natural and the spiritual is fighting. The carnal and the spiritual are right here tonight in your mind and mind. Where does them dirty thoughts come from that comes in your mind? They sure don't come from God, do they? Well, then they have to come from the devil. So we found that the devil uses the same place to work through that God uses. Where does those good thoughts come from? They come from God, you know, about His Word and things like that. So what is it? Satan and God's battling to see who can come through and get to the inner man, to the soul. Then there's people that are here tonight that are born again. They've got God here in this center part. There's a battle then to try to keep you from being able to accept what you have need of. You're sick. You need deliverance from a sickness. It sure ain't God that put it there. Might allow it, but he didn't put it there. The devil is the one doing that. If he can hold you down to a place that you can't accept faith, he's got you defeated. If he can keep you from rising to a place, now watch, the prophet, when we get to it, we'll see he says it this way. He says, God wants us to get away from these senses, see, taste, feel, smell, and hear, memory, reason, conscience, affections, and that. Read it from the Bible, and it says, by His stripes I'm healed. Well, I'd believe that, but I've just hurt so long. You just shut up. You done lost it. Ain't a bit of need going nowhere to be prayed for. You could pour oil on by the gallons. It wouldn't do any good. As we prepare to take the communion, think about this thought. It's a good one. Brother Woodby, years ago, I remember him telling it, that he was praying for the Lord to heal him of something. The Lord came, he kept saying, Lord, if you'd just speak to me about that, then I would accept my healing. Lord one day said, I've done put it in my word. And I won't speak it again. It's already in the word. He said, I won't speak it again. Because if I spoke it again, you wouldn't believe it any more than what's in here. Face up to it. Look at the devil. And then he says, you're sick. Just say, well, that ain't what the Bible says. Bible says, by His stripes I'm healed. Whatever you have need of, accept it. deliverance or whatever you need. It's right there in the Word. But where our trouble is, the Word's there. We say, by His stripes I'm healed. And we lay something over the top of it just like that. We say, yeah, but I might have done something that the Lord is... Well, if you have, quit. That's simple. Just quit. Don't do it no more. Well, He might be holding something against me that I done 50 years ago. Well, repent. Search yourself. But just remember, every time that you get rid of one thought like that, Satan will bring another to you. So the best way to do is just stop it all and say, Lord, forgive me if I've done anything. If there's anything wrong, I'll straighten it up and get it out of the way. And let everything be out of the way. Now I believe thy word. By your stripes I'm healed. I've tried my best to explain it to you lately for a long time, and you know it, that many a time I come to this pulpit not anointed to preach that I used to have years ago. You say you ought to quit. That's what a lot of people would think. Say, well, then if you're admitting that, you ought to quit. Well, where have you changed over the years? I'm still preaching the same message and believing the same message. Ain't changed one bit. Just deeper and deeper into it. Well, what does it matter about that? Oh, if I could just feel it, I'd believe I was healed. If I could just feel God, I'd believe I was saved. Casting down imaginations and any thought contrary to the Word of God, cast it down. Say, by His stripes I'm healed. Say, the Lord died for me at Calvary, and I am a Christian. And just stand on it. Tell the devil to get on and leave you alone. Take that off of the Word. I have to walk here. What's wrong with you? I have to walk here then believing that the Lord will meet me out here because He promised He would. He's never failed me yet. He's never failed one time, and I've told you that for over a year now, a year and a half, that I was going through the greatest trial of my life, that when I'd have to come here, no more anointed to preach than nothing, and you know that's true. But the Lord's never failed to meet me here. I challenge you to go somewhere else and see if God's using some of these people that you know of that's so great in their spirit and so lifted up and so high, and there ain't nothing wrong with it. Now, don't get me wrong. I say this much, if God could use me like I am, what could He do with me if I could ever get in that kind of a place? See? If I could ever get to the places where that, then I'd sure like to hear my own sermon over again. Because He's allowed me to preach things that my brothers have not been able to understand, let alone to believe, but they couldn't tear it down by the message. And me having to come right here and stand here every day saying, Lord, that's why I come to church early, because I come up here to pray. I said, Lord, meet us here tonight. You promised it. That's all I can say. You promised it. And He's never failed to meet with us yet. Well, see, the greatest battle ever fought is in the human mind. Let's stand together and just, if anyone has anything that you want to get rid of before we have the communion, then just remember to get rid of it. Let's just sing that little hymn. I love Him. I love Him because He first loved me and purchased my salvation. Get rid of everything out of your life now to take the communion. If you need healing or anything, the altar's open. If you need salvation, then the altar's open.